Good morning and welcome to our second podcast of worship here at St. Matthew's. You know, it's almost beginning to feel like this is our new normal, and I hope that it's not. Just a couple of announcements. Our food pantry will be serving our clients on April 6th, and I encourage you to drive by the church, pick up an ELW hymnal and an April devotional book at the main entrance. So for today and until such time as we're able to be together in worship, Deacon Bill and I will be sharing prayers and lessons and a short message with you. And our cantor, Dave Harp, is joining us for some soothing music to restore our souls. And I have to say, it truly is not the same as being together in our beautiful sanctuary, giving praise and thanks to God. But Deacon Bill and Cantor Dave and I pray that our time together will help to nourish your spirit and give you a sense of hope and peace for the week ahead. And so we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
And a reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. These readings are from the New Revised Standard Version translation, the one we use at church. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, and as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And a reading of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
In a reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies and through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now the Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 45.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And we invite you to be seated, and Deacon Bill and I will be sharing the reading of the Gospel today. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and she saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
And then Jesus, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, how are you doing today? It's really not fair of me to ask you a question to which you cannot share an answer, is it? It seems like social isolation has been going on for such a long time. And by now, many parents are ready for recess from homeschooling and trying to work full-time and find time to get to the grocery store with limited products like milk and toilet paper. So just a little humor, I hope, because humor helps me cope. And it is from Facebook, of course. The picture is of a high-end jewelry store with lots and lots of expensive jewelry with prices on each item. Next to some pearls, which are my absolute favorite, is a roll of toilet paper for, I think, it was either $200 or $2,000. Gentle humor helps. So I'm wondering, though, what are you feeling right now? Sad? Lonely? Wondering where God is? As Christians, we sure do have our doubts and our ponderings. I read a very helpful article this week that dealt with grief. In the article, Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief were discussed, and I went, wow. Let's see where you are today, because tomorrow might be different. Let's see where I am today, because tomorrow might be different. So, we know these stages. Denial: the virus certainly won't affect me or us. I am strong. I am invincible. I am needed. Anger: you're making us stay home and take away all my activities. You're making me lose my job because of this, and now I can't pay my rent. Bargaining: okay, if I social distance or isolate for 2 weeks, then everything will be better, right? Probably not. Sadness: I am scared. When will this end? Will it ever end? I miss my friends and family. No one can visit me here in my nursing home. Acceptance: okay, this is happening and I have to figure out how to proceed. People who care about me certainly knew where I was for the past few weeks. Nothing was going to get me to stop. Without doubt, I was living in denial land big time. It took many gentle words and gentle pillow fights of words for me to finally say, okay, you win, I lose. Now, please hear me, I did not lose. I won because people who care about me pushed me gently into the land of acceptance. My daughters are grateful, and finally my friends are not breathing fire down my back, so my back feels a lot better. The minuscule monster, as a very wise person has named it, is dangerous. And I was not paying attention. I believe our power lies in being able to accept and move forward. So how? My sermon is not meant to be a how-to. I think we all know: washing our hands, checking in on our friends, using all the technology available to us, including the telephone, washing our hands, writing notes, socially isolate as much as possible, shopping for our neighbors, and the list goes on. And these are all the loving, caring and compassionate things we can do for one another, and yes, for ourselves. That is called sharing grace with one another. The power of God's grace far outstrips any minuscule monster, and we hear these words in our scripture readings today. For on this fifth Sunday in Lent, we actually hear words of joy and proclamation of new life. The prophet Ezekiel, who is feeling the burden of his folks and their sense of hopelessness, has a vision of dry bones. And as he prophesied to the dry bones, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, Ruach in Hebrew, blows upon them, and they begin to rattle and groan and put on flesh and put on weight. And then they stand on their own 2 feet, and they finally breathe. And God says to them, "O my people, I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live." God's breath, God's word, gives hope to the hopeless. Our God is on the side of life, life abundant and rich and overflowing with grace. This same breath of God blows through the rest of our lessons. The surprise for us is that God is present where we least expect God to be. Paul in Romans tells us that God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you and in me and gives life to our mortal bodies. John's gospel tells the story of Lazarus, his grief-stricken sisters, their plea to Jesus, Jesus' own grief and prayer and plea to God. And then Lazarus' grand exit from the tomb and the onlookers' astonished belief. What does all of this mean to me, Pastor? We cannot turn anywhere, my dear brothers and sisters, without God being present. We can turn nowhere without the presence of God's Spirit. Nowhere. All of our lessons are a glimmer of Easter, of new life, of resurrection, of God's astonishing grace. They are a foreshadowing of hope, a sure cause for us to rejoice, and thanks be to God, we can do that today, even apart from one another. This is a Sunday for all of us to remember that Easter is coming, and nothing will stop God's power and plan to bring new life out of despair and the death of his own son. In this in-between times, we must weep with those who weep and mourn the mounting community losses together and call on Jesus for help and pray to God in hope. Jesus, being in the midst of our tears and fears and trembling, is exactly what the resurrection means now. I wish, as your pastor, that I could say to you that by such and such a date, this will be over and our life will return to our old normal. I can't, and I wouldn't think of making that kind of promise. But what I can promise you is that in the midst of our tears, and yes, my attempts at denial, and maybe yours too, that the Spirit of God is present within us and present where we least expect. Know and trust that you are being held up in prayer by Deacon Bill and me. So my prayer this week for you, I normally don't end my sermons this way, but a little bit of a pattern here. So my prayer for you this week is from a beautiful hymn which is at the heart of my own faith journey. It's from ELW 759, so you can get your ELWs out. It was part of my installation service at my First Call congregation. My faith looks up to thee. The words and poetry are comforting and beautiful. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my fears away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. And while life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day. wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. And when ends life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. O bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. Amen. And turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing and homebound, for our first responders, our military members and their families, and those we now name silently in our hearts. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new life and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the church with your spirit and bless the work of those who work for its renewal. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, you love the world you have made, and you grieve when creation suffers. Restore polluted lands and waterways. Heal areas of the world ravaged by storms, floods, wildfires, droughts, or other natural disasters, especially those impacted by this coronavirus. Bring all things to new life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, show redemption to all who watch and wait with eager expectation, those longing for wars to cease, those waiting for immigration paperwork to finalize, those seeking election, and those in dire need of humanitarian relief. Come quickly with your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, you weep with those who grieve. Unbind all who are held captive by anxiety, despair, or pain. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle, and keep us faithful in prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, we give thanks for opportunities for this congregation to collaborate with our community in caring for the needs of our neighbors. We're especially thankful for our food pantry volunteers. Strengthen our ties with other local congregations, agencies, and services. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of life, you are our resurrection. We remember all those who have died and trust that in you they will live again. Breathe new life into our dry bones that we too might live with you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together as you taught us using the familiar version of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hear now the benediction. May the grace of Christ attend us, and the love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us now and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go in peace. Be safe.